This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Fraley, lefty batter. The pitch. Swing and a fly ball. Center field. Sawinski is there. Drifting in, he's got it. Bednar saves it. Pirates win it. The heroics of Brian Reynolds at the bat and the strong pitching performance from Mitch Keller and the bullpen, and the Pirates win the series against the Reds.
I don't want to be hyperbolic, but that felt really, really big. You win a series against a division foe. You pitch the absolute crap out of the baseball. You give up one run in game one of the series, two runs in game two, zero runs in game three. You probably should have swept the doggone thing, but you win two out of three, and Mitch Keller, in a day where it could not be easy to stay in the game as long as he stayed in the game because of the heat and the humidity, he was exactly what the doctor ordered. And, Doran, to me, this entire stretch since Paul Skeens has been called up, we've focused so much on Skeens. Mitch Keller has been very good, if not better, actually, than Skeens in that stretch, and we'll get to that. I think Mitch Keller is doing his part right now to say, hey, don't forget about me as maybe the Pirates' ace.
Somebody tweeted me yesterday and said Dorn was spot on, and I was like, spot on about what? And I kind of, you know, scrolled up and to see what they were talking about. And it showed Mitch Keller's stats. And I was like, oh, I do remember that. Whenever I was talking during the season, and I was like, whenever Paul Skeens does get called up, this is going to push Mitch Keller in a different direction, in a positive direction. He's going to look at it like this, like, hey, listen, I'm still here. I'm still the top dog. I'm still the highest paid. Now, okay, how that ever the order is right now, so be it. But he has proven that he is still the guy that they paid $77 million to, and that's that healthy competition that we talk about Paul Skeens, and this isn't about Paul Skeens right now, but it is, that he brings to the table. He brings an array of things to the table, and it's not just him throwing 100-plus miles per hour. I mean, they score runs whenever he's on the mound. His mentality, his demeanor, that breeds and goes throughout the team. They lift up their spirits. They win baseball games, and he helps with healthy competition with Jared Jones and Mitch Keller being the main culprit here. Mitch Keller always had this. It's not just about Paul Skeens, but this was probably that extra oomph that he needed for this year to go out there and pitch the way he is. I'm actually convinced that that has to be a part of his process of why he's pitching so well.
I am going to buy it because the eyes tell us that. It makes sense. Competition is a good thing in radio, in sports, in anything that you do. And the statistics would back it up. Paul Skeens made his major league debut on May 11th. Since that point, he has a 2.29 ERA, among the best in all of baseball. Mitch Keller, since Paul Skeens was called up, has a 1.65 ERA. 1.65. Mitch Keller has been better, not with strikeouts, but he has been better in terms of ERA, fairly significantly actually, than has Paul Skeens since both guys have been in the rotation together. And we had asked this question before the season. Is Mitch Keller really a number one guy in Major League Baseball? Or is he a really good two? Is he an elite three? What is Mitch Keller? He had a difficult second half of last season. Right now, Mitch Keller is every part an ace.
Mm-hmm.
He is an ace. Mitch Keller went 7 innings yesterday, 2 hits, no earned, 7 strikeouts. He had to match zeros with the Reds ace, Hunter Greene. Sometimes you watch a Pirate game and you go, my God, this lineup sucks. And they've gone up and they've gone down, and the downs have been very, very down. They faced Lodolo, who's a really good pitcher, and they faced Hunter Green, who's a really good pitcher. Mitch Keller knew, probably before the game, if we're going to win this thing, I got to put up zeros. And so he puts up zeros. But he's now got an ERA of 3.11 on the season. He's ninth in baseball in innings pitched. Only three guys in the National League have pitched more innings than Mitch Keller. That is an ace. It's not just, oh, we've got a chance to win every time he takes the ball, and they do. It's, out of all the guys they have in this rotation, who's going to go to the deepest in the games? Who's going to save the bullpen? Who can you rely on for, at bare minimum, five innings every time out? That is Mitch Keller, and that value cannot be lost on us.
Mm-mm.
And I got to take a big mea culpa here. I got to say sorry to Mitch. Mitch has had like two bad starts all year. It was his first two starts. I said, I'm really worried about this guy. His second half of the season last year was not very good. And the first two starts, I thought, this is just a continuation of what he did last year. Oh my God, they paid this guy $77 million. Not only has he proven me wrong, not only has he been an elite three, not only has he shown that he could be a very good two. Oh, Mitch Keller's an ace. He's an ace. Look at the numbers. Innings pitched, ERA, strikeouts, whatever metric you want to look at, Mitch Keller has been very, very good. The total package, he's exactly what they need in a rotation with two youngsters.
Oh, my God.
And not just two youngsters, two young guys that they're going to have to be careful with in terms of innings. And right now they're throwing bullpen games once, if not twice a week. You need someone to go deep into games. Mitch Keller is him. I can't say enough good things about this guy.
He's an all-star.
He's an all-star. He absolutely should be on this all-star team.
Yes. They might have two. Is that possible?
They might have three. We'll get to another guy coming up in the next segment, because there's enough love to go around based on yesterday's ball game and the recent goings-on with the Pittsburgh Pirates. But, yeah, I think Mitch Keller is all-star capable. His ERA, I think, is 13th in the National League, so close to that cut line there. And you're going to need relievers that make the team too. But if you take all of his numbers, and the innings pitched thing is one that I don't know that we pay an awful lot of attention to in Major League Baseball anymore, with pitch counts and innings limits, and guys are rarely ever going to go over 100 pitches. You know, yesterday they pull him at 83 pitches.
Yeah, that's where I was about to go. How do you feel about that?
I'm okay with it.
Okay.
I'm okay with it because they have an off day today. And Colin Holderman has been so slapping good that I don't mind handing the ball to him. If it was 83 pitches in six innings and you need to go to Chapman, who has been better, I still think you're kind of rolling the dice on Chapman. Because even when he's good, he's going to walk a guy or two.
Mm-hmm.
And when you only had a one-run cushion, I would say, no, leave him in so you don't have to go to Chapman. But that you go to Holderman and then Bednar, who's turned it around. I have no problem with that. Especially when Derek Shelton said after the game, you know, 83 pitches yesterday is different than 83 pitches when it's 70 degrees
out. Yeah, true.
You know? True. And he said when he walked out there and took the ball from Mitch, he got no pushback.
he said Mitch was gassed.
Yeah. So I think the guy throwing the ball has to have a big say in that, too. So I come in to the show most days wanting to find something with Derek Shelton to criticize. I'm not. What about you? Did you have a problem with it?
No, not at all. Not at all. Like you said, off day, start a new series. Tomorrow, that's probably going to be a bullpen game tomorrow.
Probably,
and then because Jones and Skeens are Saturday and Sunday.
Yes.
No, I had no problem with it. I'm just very impressed. I'm very impressed with Mitch Keller. Just total command and just looking, just quiet assassin, as we said earlier.
He is.
Quiet assassin. You know, those three guys, they bring something different to the table, which I love. I hate, like, the same type of players. I hate the same type of people. I hate the same type of radio hosts. Like, that doesn't make for a good team. That doesn't make for a good show. Everybody has to bring their own flavor and actually be at the highest level. And that's what those three are. Like, you can't like prepare for each guy the same. That's what makes sports so hard and makes baseball and hitting against good pitchers so hard. That is, you know, one guy's going to do this, other guy's going to do that, another guy does that. It's not the same. And they are all pitching at a high level, and it's not the same, which I think is fascinating.
Yes, it is fascinating because he's not the beat-your-chest guy.
No.
He's not the stare-you-down, walking-off-the-mound guy. They got that in Skeens. And Jones emotes in a different way, but both of those guys are bulldogs. He does just quietly go about, I'm very good.
I don't mean to cut you off, I feel like you ever see like people walking like they're two pit bulls. I feel like he's like the parent that owns two pit bulls that has like the two big chains and is like taking the pit bulls for a walk. That's what it feels like.
Well, you talked about Skeens and his promotion kind of being the tide that rises all ships. And I agree with that 100%. But I don't think we should discount the other way either. Whereas I think Mitch Keller has probably helped those guys so much.
You could tell every time Skeens comes off the mound, he looks for Mitch Keller
in
the dugout.
Yes, he does.
And they do some type of signal or they give a head nod or they kind of wink or whatever it is. Like that's what you want.
Yes.
That's how you win. That's how you win.
I think there can be a legitimate, I don't know that it matters because you've got both guys, but I think there's a legitimate conversation there. Who is the Pirates' ace? I mean, we know who's more dominant. No doubt that's Paul Skeens. It just looks different when he's on the mound. And I do think he would be my guy that would start a hypothetical game, one of a playoff series. But Mitch Keller, if you need him to go nine, if you really needed that, you don't do it much anymore. He would go nine for you. Now, I don't know that Skeens wouldn't. They just probably aren't going to give him the chance. But there's something still special in baseball about the dude who, for now 46 straight times, I'm going at least five innings.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not bowing out early. Even if I struggle, I probably won't struggle because I'm damn good. And here's one more stat on Mitch Keller. Mitch Keller was an all-star last year.
Uh-huh.
Through 15 starts in 2023, Mitch Keller had a 3.62 ERA. And we all thought, my God, how good is this player? This year through 15 starts, a 3.11 ERA. He's outperforming last season's Mitch Keller. So they pay him, and not only is he keeping up with what they thought he could do, he's actually exceeding what he did last year to become an all-star. Incredibly impressive. All the flowers go to Mitch Keller, and I'd like to see him get into the all-star game again. I think from a value standpoint, I think from an eyeball standpoint, if it came down to those two, I think the manager is going to wind up picking Paul Skeens. But from a deserved standpoint, it's hard for me to argue that Skeens deserves it on merit more than Mitch Keller.
No doubt.
Like Mitch Keller, third in innings, 13th in ERA. He's just the full package. And then if you want to compare him in the time frame, like, the argument is Skeens doesn't qualify for ERA because he hasn't pitched enough innings. In that time frame, Mitch Keller's actually been the better player.
Been the better player.
Which is just, that is incredibly impressive knowing how good Paul Skeens has been. And the other thing is, you need Keller to pick up because you got the bullpen game now three times in the last couple of weeks. It might be four tomorrow. We'll see if Martin Perez gets the call. But Mitch has also had to pick it up a little bit for Jared Jones, who was slipped a little bit.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not overly concerned about Jones, but he has taken a step back as he's figuring it out, as the league has punched back, and Mitch Keller has gotten better in that time frame. He is what they need. I think Skeens is kind of like the Dark Knight, and I think Mitch Keller is kind of like the White Knight, to make the Batman comparison.
Who's the White Knight?
Wasn't that Harvey Dent for a while?
I thought he was Two-Face, but I don't know.
I thought he was the White Knight before he was Two-Face.
He was the DA. District. I don't know. I could be wrong.
Tweet us, brought to you by South Hills Kia and Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. And that's a movie I've seen.
You might be right.
You could text us. We'll see. I mean, people text, whatever. Brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. There is a theme here, by the way. Guys that I criticize and say might not be worth their money, who then prove me immediately wrong, Brian Reynolds falls into that category. He hit the game-winning home run last night, and yesterday afternoon, and he extended his hitting streak in the process. May Brian Reynolds be all-star caliber? You'll be surprised when you compare him to some of his contemporaries in the National League. We'll get to that coming up next. The Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection. Oh, we will get into Brian Reynolds. But Doran and I were having a stimulating conversation off the air, which we want to bring onto the air momentarily. But first, it's time for your injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. Why pay 40% when you can pay 25%? Call 888-98-TWINS, 98twins.com. Is Martin Perez going to start tomorrow? or are they going to go with the bullpen game again? And what would we prefer? The reason it's the injury report is because, well, Martin Perez is coming back from injury, and it'd be nice to get him in the rotation, but I'm kind of in love with what Luis Ortiz has done. And he hasn't been the starter, but he's basically been the starter because he goes 4 innings, he goes 5 innings. Really, bullpen game in name only, he's been more than serviceable.
What are they, 4-0?
3-0 of late. They might be 4-0.
3-0 of late.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't rely on it all the time, but it is working a little bit. If you could steal one more week and let maybe Martin Perez get healthier one more week, and feel like you have some momentum, you feel like you have it figured out, you might as well go with it tomorrow. I mean, you've proven that it has worked recently, so you might as well ride the hot hand of the bullpen game and let, you know, one of your starting pitchers that have been injured get just that extra week. Sometimes an extra day, an extra 5 days, an extra 6 days is just, you know, sometimes it's a year compared to normal people for athletes that can get healthy.
You have talked about that before. Like when we've talked about Thursday games in the NFL and how your body feels day after game and how every day you get incrementally better and you need all that time to recover. He threw a bullpen, Martin Perez did, earlier on in this week. And yeah, I mean, you give him some extra time. Plus, it does actually work out now for a bullpen game. Like, I hated it. Worked out. I hated the idea of 2 times in 3 games in Colorado going to a bullpen game. But yesterday, Keller goes 7+. You only use Holderman and Bednar. Now you're off today. Your entire bullpen should be available to you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
And if Luis Ortiz can go 5 again, and he's been so good in that role, tomorrow actually makes sense for a bullpen game. So I would do it. And it's well said by you, and it probably gives Martin Perez a better opportunity to have success if and when he does come back. And I should probably omit the if there. That's the injury report brought to you by Shenderovich, Shenderovich & Fishman. Why pay 40% when you could pay 25%? Call 888-98-TWINS or online at 98twins.com. Here's the scintillating conversation that we had during the break. The Buccos half game out of a wild card spot right now. 9 teams, a game and a half out of or in second place in the wild card standings in the NL right now. It is wild out there. If the Pirates had a playoff series starting, let's say, a week from now, who gets the ball game one? Paul Skeens or Mitch Keller?
Jared Jones.
What?
Jared Jones. Because if I could steal that first game with Jared Jones, I know what's coming behind him. I would start, it's crazy, I would start Jared Jones, and then I would have Skeens and then Keller. Because I wouldn't want to, if I could steal that first game, then that sets me up for creating that momentum for my two ace pitchers.
Hmm.
But if I lost that first game with, say, Keller on the mound, and then had Skeens that would win, and then it'd be 1-1, and then have Jones, and then maybe be 1-2.
That's interesting.
Like, I would hope that I could steal that first game with Jones, and then I would know that those two behind him, we are going to go up either 2-1 or.
And if it's a wild card series, 2-1 wins the thing.
Exactly.
Man, that's interesting, because you could also make the argument if you go Keller Skeens or Skeens Keller.
Now, this is just obviously,
yeah,
hypothetical.
No, this is great.
Like, they wouldn't probably do that, but in my mind, I would be like, I need to steal a game, and Jared, I need that one game out of you. Go steal this game. Go be a dog. Go get this game. This is your time. You're going to get the ball. Here, I'm going to shine it off. Here, you get to start this series. And then I know it's coming behind them, and so does the other team.
Yeah, you either win that game and
you
put yourself in the big-time driver's seat, or if you lose it, well, you're going to turn to those two guys.
Yep.
When you first said Jared Jones, I'm thinking, how?
Yep.
Like, what's the logic in that? Very well reasoned. I would actually go with Mitch Keller in game one. He has pitched to a better ERA than Skeens since Skeens has been called up. You really can't go wrong here,
because
your rotation is so good. This series against Cincinnati, they pitched the ever-loving you-know-what's out of them. I mean, this was a really well-pitched series, and you have to control the running game with those guys. The whole staff, including the bullpen, did a great job this series. I'm going with Keller, though, because he's going to give you a great chance to win, And he is your best chance to keep the bullpen fresh for the rest of the series. Again, yeah. I don't think you can really quibble with any of these guys. I love the logic on Jared Jones, actually. I really do. I'm going with Keller, though, because if one guy's going to go eight or could go eight and they'd allow to go eight, it'd be him.
It'd be him, yeah.
And so then, okay, you go, if all things go according to plan, Mitch Keller and then David Bednar finishes it off. Or maybe Mitch could go the distance. He's at least got that ability and he has the leash to be able to do that. And then your bullpen's fresh for the rest of the series. The conversation, I think, is a good one. But I think because we are having the conversation, the Pirates are in a place that they haven't been in so long. You could have that conversation in 13, 14, and 15. A.J. Burnett, Francisco Liriano, Garrett Cole. Wow. Since then, you haven't been able to have that conversation. Joe Musgrove's going to get the ball. Or last year, Mitch Keller obviously is going to get the ball. Now there's a debate. It just makes me so hungry for them to get into this thing. That you get in, we are not the only ones saying it.
Right.
Buster Olney has said it. We talked to Brett Boone the other day. He said it. Jeff Passan has said it. Anybody with a platform who watches Major League Baseball in its totality has said, don't let the Pirates get in or they will cause problems. Well, and it's because of this starting pitching.
Yeah, you got the hardest thing kind of figured out. Right now, at least.
Don't they?
Right?
How cool is that?
Yeah, you got the hardest thing figured out. I mean, there's a lot of teams in Major League Baseball that wish they had three guys like the Pirates do. And teams, they recognize that it's not, you're not either, you know, coming into PNC Park and it's just going to be a walk through the park, or the Pirates are flying to, you know, LA, you know, to, it's not going to be a walk in the park there either. Like, no. You know that you're going to have to face one of those guys.
And we haven't even talked about Bailey Falter,
right?
Who, look, a fly ball pitcher against the Dodgers, we saw what that looked like here. And it is mostly a pitcher-friendly ballpark. I would say PNC Park. But out in L.A., that's a pitcher-friendly ballpark. Like, I wouldn't want him going against the Phillies at Citizens Bank. I don't know that I'd love Bailey Falter against the Reds at Great American Bandbox Ballpark. But in the right spots, Bailey Falter could also give you a good performance come a playoff series. And you're really probably going to need four starters because you can repeat starters too with days off.
Mm-hmm.
They get in, they got a shot.
No doubt.
That was the Fan Morning Show Twitter poll. We'd like you to vote. Who's the ace? Who would you start in game one of a playoff series, a hypothetical playoff series? And I only put up Keller and I only put up Skeens. But Doran raises a really good argument on Jared Jones. Fan Morning Show Twitter poll brought to you by PJ Fitzpatrick Home Improvement. TrustPJ.com. We got to recognize what Brian Reynolds is doing right now. The longest hitting streak going in Major League Baseball. Starting to look like he's worth that contract. Where a month ago, I wasn't saying that. We'll talk about B-Ren. Is that what we call him?
B-Ray.
Whatever.
B-Ray.
Coming up next, B-Ren.
Bangren.
We'll talk about Bangren coming up next. Give us a ring, Fan Hotline, presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Our good pal, Neil Walker, former Bucco Pirates analyst, will be on that Fan Hotline coming up at 9 a.m. this morning. I was about to do the 50-minute mark read, but it is 6:38. Lost track of what segment we were in, Doran.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about what you said about Jared Jones starting game one of a playoff series, and I like it. In a 7-game series, I think I would go with Jones. In a 3-game wild card series, I would go with Keller.
Yes.
But I like your line of thinking. If you put Jones out there in a 7-game series, game one, and you win that game, and he's absolutely capable of doing such things. Now that ball's rolling downhill.
Yeah.
And I don't care who you're playing, the pressure is on because now you got Skeens, now you got Keller, and you can get those guys a couple of times with the way these series are spread out. Just get in.
Mm-hmm.
Just get in.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get more into that later on in the show because Wehner had a really good take on that on yesterday's program, and because we had Whaley and we didn't have a lot of time to react to that. How about Brian Reynolds? Brian Reynolds, man. In June, he's been Mickey Mantle, for God's sakes. He hit the game-winning homer yesterday.
Here's a 1-0 pitch. Swing, high fly ball, deep center field. Fairchild back. Warning track, carrying it gone. Brian Reynolds hit it out of here. First run of the game. Brian Reynolds, a two-out home run in the eighth. And the Pirates lead it 1-0.
You think Kevin Young was excited? Kevin Young has grown into a really good analyst. I listened to a lot of the game on the radio side yesterday, and he's not the most emotional guy. That right there is the most you're going to get out of him. But I dig it, man. I don't think Block thought that ball was getting out. I don't think he thought that ball was getting out. I heard the TV call. I don't think Greg Brown thought that ball was getting out. But everything Brian Reynolds is hitting right now, basically, is turning to gold. And we talked about All-Stars. Mitch Keller, probably deserving of All-Star consideration, at least consideration. Paul Skeens, deserving, at least, of All-Star consideration. Real quick, though, Brian Reynolds is playing his way into that conversation. 18-game hitting streak. And he adds to that hitting streak with flair, and he wins the game for them. And he's not an emotional guy either. But as he was rounding second, he gave one of these.
Yep.
Like,
yes.
Like he's bearing down on the toilet. Like, you don't get the fist pump. You don't get, like, there's no somersault. He's not grittying out there. But you got emotion from Brian Reynolds. He's fifth among NL outfielders, easy for me to say, in RBI with 40. He's third among NL outfielders in home runs. He's fifth in NL outfielders in batting average at 271. He's fifth in NL outfielders in OPS at 785. He's seventh in on-base percentage. He's fourth in slugging percentage. Real quick, Brian Reynolds is having himself a nice year, or a very good year.
Yeah, that's all-star stuff, right? I mean, in outfield, it's not just his, you know, normal position. It's not position by position. You're saying outfield.
Just
to
outfield.
To me, if he just could, you know, if he, I mean, this is, it would be insane for him to continue this for the next month, but, I mean, as consistent as he played, I think he might be working his way to be an all-star.
I think so, too.
Which is awesome. Good for him. You have two guys right now that we've talked about. Now, we need three. We've talked about two guys singing for their supper. Mitch Keller and Brian Reynolds. All right, Ke'Bryan Hayes, your turn.
Yes.
Sing for your supper.
Two of the three contract guys have really, really been very good. After a slight slow start from Mitch.
Yep.
And a pretty slow start, frankly, from Brian Reynolds.
Yes.
To the point where I think last week I was saying, buddy, you're making $100 million for the Pirates. You need to be way better.
Mm-hmm.
And he has been way better. They don't win the game, obviously, yesterday without his contribution.
Very, very good.
Very good. And that is clutch last night, or yesterday afternoon. Absolutely clutch. You're right about Ke'Bryan Hayes.
What's his contract?
Hayes makes 8.75 on average a year.
For 7 years?
Six, I'd have to, six, I forget years? The term on that.
Okay. But he's the third highest contract, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, and he makes less money on a year basis than Aroldis Chapman this year, and technically lower than Marco Gonzalez, mm-hmm. although Marco Gonzalez is getting his bill paid for by another team.
Mm-hmm.
Ke'Bryan signed an 8-year, $70 million contract.
Yeah.
It's a lot. That $8.75 million is not a lot in baseball circles. That's a pretty penny, though, for the Buccos.
Yeah. I mean, it's Mitch Keller.
Exactly. And so, you're right. He does need to be better.
Yes.
I don't know that I'm seeing it right now. I know he hit the homer the other day. He's hitting 238. He doesn't need to be what he was in the second half of last season. Because to think he's going to do that consistently, well, I think we've seen enough of Ke'Bryan Hayes to know that's not who he's going to be. I hope coming into the year, he found himself. Well, maybe he's just a streaky guy. He got a 629 OPS at a corner infield spot. And defensively, he's been good. I don't think he's been as good defensively this year as he has been in the past. You need much better from this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And when John Wehner was on with us yesterday, he said it's tough to get these long winning streaks whenever you're winning close games because the bullpen gets taxed. You need to score runs. You know, they need to add, no doubt. But if Ke'Bryan Hayes could have a hot streak between now and the trade deadline, that might go a long way.
Yes.
You're right about him. And we have seen O'Neill Cruz turn it around since May. He has an OPS over 800. I'd like to see him hit the ball over the fence, but an OPS over 800 in today's baseball is very good. So he's done it. Ke'Bryan Hayes has not done it. Brian Reynolds has done it. Mitch Keller's done it. You're right. Key is like
next.
He's got to be next.
Yep.
No doubt about that. All right. Your tweets, texts, calls on the Buccos when we come back at 412-928-9370. But we also got to talk about a big-time anniversary that you brought to my attention, Doran, and we'll do so when we come back. 50-minute mark on the Fan brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. Coming up in 10 minutes, everyone's doing the Justin Fields thing, and I wish they wouldn't be doing the Justin Fields thing, and I think Dorn and I are going to have a very nuanced conversation on all of that, as we often do. So we'll get to that coming up in about 11, 12 minutes here. Someone did text in that Colin Holderman deserves some all-star consideration, and look, Colin Holderman has been all-star caliber. There's no doubt about it. He has a 0.7 ERA. He has been unreal. Problem is, you don't see setup guys very often get selected to the All-Star game because you need the big save numbers and all that flashy, sexy crap. But Colin Holderman has been in a bullpen with David Bednar and Aroldis Chapman, who have both turned it around. He has been the best reliever they've had by a long stretch, a wide margin, I should say. Now, I am rattled a little bit because I see he threw 13 pitches yesterday for 9 strikes.
Oh.
And I got stuck in my craw a little bit there.
Man, that's tough.
That's tough,
yeah. Yeah, you didn't need that. You didn't deserve that.
Thank you very much. I was just trying to gas our guy Colin Holderman up, and I have to get a 13-9 reference dropped right in my face.
Man.
Yeah.
Oh.
I want to talk about the 49-year anniversary of Jaws, Doran, but first, saw this yesterday. Some dweeb hit like the weirdest parlay of all time. Some guy bet a Cole Kmet anytime touchdown on October 5th against the Commanders. And he parlayed that with the Boston Celtics winning the NBA title. And he got plus 1,600 odds on the damn thing, and it hit.
I saw that too.
Are we jealous of a guy like that, or is he a moron that wound up just lucking into it?
Well, I'm not jealous of somebody. Nobody knows how much he won either. I mean, you saw the odds. It could have been $5.
It could have been, yeah.
But you see those ones where it'll be $5 to win like $999,000, and it's like a 50-person thing parlay, and they hit. Like, I'm jealous of that.
Me too,
like,
yeah.
To just even think of doing that and for it to hit and to let it ride is insane, you know, because, you know, you could have the cash out option.
That's so true.
Think about having the stones to let that ride. You're down to the last leg, and you're like, I'm going to let it ride. Like, wow, like, that's a different type of human. But I guarantee this person probably went in the last year, probably big Cole Kmet fan. Where did Cole? He went to Notre Dame. He got to Notre Dame? Yeah, he went to Notre Dame, tight end. Probably a big Notre Dame fan and was like, you know what? Every single game, I'm going to bet Cole Kmet anytime touchdown. And I'm going to parlay it with the Boston Celtics. You can't tell me that was just like, all right, this game, I'm going to do that. They did that every single week.
That's a pretty good call by you, man. That's a pretty good call by you. And Cole Kmet had 6 touchdowns last year, so it's not like he was this touchdown rainmaker. Like, he played 17 games, he caught 6 touchdowns. I mean, that's not great odds.
We honestly should do that.
I'm in.
Like, in August, right before the season, let's do, like, let's do something like Justin Fields anytime touchdown parlayed with Crosby goal scorer first game of the year parlayed with Paul Skeens 8 strikeouts for 2025.
Pittsburgh like parlays we
Pittsburgh
could call
parlay.
It.
Yeah.
Bang.
Let's do it.
I like it. Who's the runaway favorite to win? I mean, I don't know. Boston was the runaway favorite. So that made sense to go with them. And I don't know if the guy is a Celtics fan or he's just smart knowing that they were by far the best team in the NBA this year. Like, I guess you could parlay something with the Chiefs winning the championship or the 49ers. I like your way better. The Pittsburgh parlay.
Yep. We'll do that.
Slap a sponsor on that, baby. Mm-hmm. The Pittsburgh parlay. I like it. Now it's the 49-year anniversary of Jaws, which is one of your all-time favorite movies. Is it a horror movie?
No.
It's very scary,
it's
though.
It's a thriller.
Yes. Well said.
It was never intended to be a horror movie. That's why that there's not as much gore. Like, they did, if you watch it behind the scenes and you watch the documentaries, and I've watched, like, the 6 documentaries that they've had, and I've watched them multiple times, there's a lot of scenes that were taken out because Spielberg, who was a very young director at the time, did not want it to be a horror movie. And there were some very gruesome scenes that were taken out of the movie just to make it like, you know, this is a thriller. That is a movie, I think it's an all-time classic, and it might be top 5 ever.
One of the great summer movies of all time.
It scared people, like, for real. And in 1975, and I've asked my parents, I've quizzed them because I'm weird like that because I love Jaws so much. In 1975, my dad was 19 years old, and he went to the movies to see Jaws. My mom was 20 at the time. She went to the movies to see Jaws. And they said that nobody knew what really sharks were about until that movie. Like, nobody ever thought of going in the ocean, oh, there's a shark. Like, the people knew about sharks, of course.
But you didn't have the same media culture you do now where everything's out there, easily accessible.
Exactly. Like, they didn't think that, like, sharks could ever get that big or could ever terrorize humans. Like, there were shark attacks, but you'd have to, like, search the, go to a library to look into a book to see how many people got, eaten by sharks. So that movie was probably one of the first movies that scared people. But it was, like, real. That and The Exorcist, those two movies, like, scared people because it was like, oh, my gosh, this could be real. It really transcended everything. Shark Week now, just everybody's fascinated by sharks, cage diving,
wow,
everything.
Shark Week. Yeah, you're right about that.
It all spawned from that movie. And real quick, like, watching the documentary, Steven Spielberg, and it was the most probably grueling sets because they had to delay. The shark never worked. The salt water always decayed the rubber of the shark. So it was horrible for the actors from what I've watched. And Steven Spielberg would never get in the water. And to this day, and then the last documentary, he says, I haven't gotten in the water since 1974. And I just got up to my feet because I know that there's a shark out there waiting for me.
Dang.
Just from making the movie. Yeah. And that struck me. He's like, I've never gotten in the ocean ever again. And I never will. Because I know that's going to be my fate. And that is literally an all-time classic, and I just absolutely love it.
One of the first true blockbusters.
It's just the thought of it, and there was a book, obviously, before that, Peter Benchley, who wrote the book, and then Steven Spielberg brought it to life.
Did you read the book?
No, I didn't read the book, but I know pieces of the book, and I know that it was altered a lot.
Yeah, you have to. Yeah. You always do. Smile, you son of a...
I mean, unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I'm going to watch that this weekend.
I love it.
No, I won't. I won't have time. But I'm going to think about it this weekend. How about that? All right, coming up next, have we not learned our lesson about quarterback evaluation? I am fatigued. I am fatigued by speculation. We'll explain what that means when we come back. But first, let's tell you about Fan Weather, or we'll have KDKA do it. Fan Weather is brought to you by Sun Chevy. 24 Silverado LT Crew Cab, up to $7,500 in rebates, full terms and qualifications at sunchevy.com.